If I can have your attention, we'll welcome you all to our January Deer Springs Ranch meeting, almost a tradition in Candy and Joe's house in Las Vegas. And as usual, we're getting started just a little late because we've had such good food to eat from Candy. Thank you, Candy. It was quite the breakfast brunch.
And there's no doggy bags for Sonny.
Okay. No doggy bags for Sonny. All right, then. I will. I haven't asked anybody to say a prayer, so I'll go ahead and say one, and we'll officially open the meeting. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this beautiful morning for the opportunity that we have to meet, for the beauties that surround us, and for our families and loved ones. And we ask You to be with us that are striving to take care of Deer Springs Ranch matters, that we might have good judgment and wisdom. We might be blessed with insight and inspiration as to best address the concerns and needs of Deer Springs Ranch. We thank Thee for many positive things in our lives, and we ask Thee to be with us this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
No.
All right. Let's have our roll call. Candy, are you? And the Strains are with us. We welcome them. And first matter of business, we'll look at approval of the November board meeting minutes. I phoned in a few changes to Candy, and I think others did a little bit. And so the final version has been with us by email, and I would entertain a motion to accept them as they are, or if there's discussion or changes that need to be made, anybody speak up right now?
I'll second it.
Okay, so I guess I made a motion then to accept the minutes as they have been prepared. Joe seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, real good. Thank you, Jody.
And Phil, do you have a who's online so we all know who's available, who's here?
Let's have a roll call from those online. We have Jody and Vance. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Is there anyone else?
Bob Allen's here.
Bob Allen, very good.
Linda Alderman.
Linda Alderman is with us. Anyone else?
Barry Clarkson's here. I'll be in and out, depending on Vince, my son's in.
All right. Thank you, Barry. All right. You got all that, Candy? Candy, do you happen to have a copy of that those minutes from last month? Or is there one here?
No, my printer's down. Joe was working on it 2 hours this morning.
Okay. I had printer problems this morning, too, so I didn't. But, okay, I'm looking at the minutes, and next on the agenda, I just wanted to bring up, as you scan through these, we talked about and made a few assignments, or talked about wanting to work on certain things. I think it's probably good for us each month to review those. And I don't know if this would be possible, Candy, but when you prepare the final version and you email it to us, any chance when there was an assignment or something, made, that you could maybe put it in red, that part, and then we can glance over these minutes at our next meetings and those will kind of pop out to us.
I thought about that, or taking at the end.
And summarizing it?
Summarize specific things, yes.
However you find it easiest to do, that would be appreciated.
I will do that.
Okay, so you'll have to Pardon me while I scan through here and just pick things out of the written copy here. Paul's not with us, or we could ask him. They have phone problems. Their future plans, though, we've listed are for this winter include insulating the laundry room, fixing roofs on the outer rooms, counters fixed in cabins 7 and 8, and remodel the store inside and cut fence posts. Does anybody have any knowledge as to where Paul might be on any of that? Linda, do you know? Linda, are you there?
I don't have knowledge of that.
You dropped out?
I'm not. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have knowledge of that. What I do know is that Paul got a really severe flu and ended up with double walking pneumonia this month, and so he's been down with that and been told to stay out of the cold air. So I know he hasn't been doing very much outside, but I know he's been plowing and things like that with the snow now, more currently. So I can follow up on that and get an answer for you when I speak with them next.
That'd be great. Thank you. All right. I'll move down the list here. I'll just say this. An updated copy of the rules and regulations will be sent to Vance Green is what we're... But we've kind of held off finalizing the rules and regs until we have the water thing all done. And we thank Barry Clarkson very much for his efforts to tweak those rules and regs. But at this time, we won't discuss those today. It would be more appropriate when we have the final version of the water agreements, because that would be that's part of it.
Hey, Bill. We're talking about fence that I believe
we're project, yeah. Part of the project there, we did talk to Paul about, and get somebody else on the
This is about the rules and regulations.
Oh, no, but you had talked about the project and Paul and that was something that was discussed with Paul.
Yeah.
Which fence? The one around the wood?
Chair down at the end.
You think about it. No, I'll just keep moving on for a minute, and then if you think about what that was, for sure. Good. Robert Musco has just joined us. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, thanks.
We're underway. Jeff, we talked about a little bit about new members joining the ranch, and... a welcome letter from the Deer Springs Owners Association. And your efforts to try and keep track of when we have new crop people that have bought. Can you give us a little side light on where we're at on that?
Actually, Linda's the one that was keeping track because she was getting information from Parks and Investments. I was going to take the welcome letter that was provided to you as a sample from Dell and scan it and send it out to the board, and I didn't do that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give you that assignment again, and we'll look forward to that. Jeff, thank you. Okay, I'm just scanning a little further here.
Anybody else need an agenda? Well, I know the bench I believe you was talking about was a little more around the Crails area. He wanted to do a little each year to try to upgrade the fence.
I'll get my glasses.
Cut the one there coming up from the house. That he worked on
last
year. I believe he might have talked. He had plans to keep going to do it in stages.
All right. For those of you listening, Leland just said Paul did make some effort headway on the fencing around the ranch headquarters and is going to be doing it in stages. And so in the next month when we get when we have Paul right here, we'll probably hear more about that. There's something about, in our minutes, we suggested that the board approach Mr. Brinkerhoff to fix the S part of the road. I didn't get any letter or send anything personally to Mr. Brinkerhoff, but I would like to maybe clarify that a little bit and have the road committee, Leland, be a little more, be descriptive and come up with that letter that we can send to him, because otherwise I don't think we did anything on that. Is that right? Okay.
We'll need to write something up.
Okay. Now, and then Leland, too, up above that is talking about road committees and seven areas and things like that. And I'm sure that's still in a kind of a formation stage, right?
Yeah.
Robert and...
Yeah.
Okay.
I've thought about it and have some ideas that we can lay down. Let's get that started.
So especially you and Leland, as far as... Aren't you... I'd say gather your group first, kind of organize what that group is, who they are. I mean, we have the seven areas, we talked about that,
right.
And then maybe you can give us a little heads up on any progress next month on in that area. Okay?
Yep.
All right. On the general burn, we did send a letter to, I did sign and send a letter to the Forest Service when it was time to respond, laying down our concerns, and I have heard back from them. And the local, the managing ranger will attend our next meeting. He wanted the opportunity to talk to us and our board, and he will be attending our next meeting in St. George the 13th, and we'll give him time to go into much more detail and answer any questions we have about how they're at and what their plans are. Okay.
So that's the 13th of what month?
Next month. February.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say March? February. Yeah.
That'll be 10 o'clock Utah time?
Yeah, 10 o'clock Utah time at my house, and it's 1075 South, 960 East. You go to approximately 9th South and 9th East in St. George. You look for 960 East and turn down a lane. You put it in your GPS, it messes you all up.
Yeah, or Google. I can find it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Some of these other things are on our agenda, so we'll cover them there at that time. Yes, we just talked about that, yeah.
And are they sending in any money then, or has anything happened?
Nothing is happening. They're still in the planning stages, and that's what he's going to come and talk to us about.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I sent him that letter, and... Other than things that are on our agenda, I don't see any other general assignments. So we'll now go back to the agenda. That was my part on number three. And Paul Brayton, they sent us a little summary of some of the things he had done. Did you all receive that or were able to read that? They're having telephone problems, and that's why he's not able to join us this morning. They've basically been trying to maintain with all the snow, and his sickness and just staying organized. And the cabins, the report is the cabins have been totally booked, and she's been busier than ever because they're the ones we have open are so booked. She's been doing a lot of more laundry than they ever have had to do this time of year. And frankly,
would you like me to read that for the record so that it's on a meeting?
Oh, yes. 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 Would you please, Linda? Yes.
Yes. All has been plowing snow like crazy, sometimes twice a day. The cabins have been booked all the way through New Year's. We've gotten about 3 feet of snow since Christmas. Nancy has done ranch laundry that hasn't in the past been necessary because the cabins have been booked. We cleaned up the wood pile after splitting most of it, nothing to trip on. Check out the webcams to see the snow. We got 2 new tires on the Kubota. Thanks, Joe. This time of year, we survived plowing, shoveling, organizing. Paul is making cutting boards for the cabins. We got 2 sheep, a male and a pregnant female. It never occurred to us someone from Boulder, Utah would breed to be due in January, but that's what they did. So we got 2 little lambs on January 6th in the snow. They will be a great addition to the petting zoo and later to the freezer. Both boys. We have 40 people here at Thanksgiving. Cabins were booked, as well as people staying on their own property and some people from town. And over New Year's, both cabins that are available were full, and they had about 20 people there. So it's been a rocking place up there this winter.
Sounds like it. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. I have a question. You were talking about the board meeting in February. That is Valentine's Day when it would be scheduled. Is that the day you want to have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All the more reason to get done with our board meeting early on in the afternoon so we can take care of our sweethearts.
There you go.
Wait, I have to say that the February meeting is on the 13th.
Yes.
Looking at 2015. You're good. Right. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. 13. And could I ask, while I have everybody on there, the ones that aren't sitting close to Phil, if they could speak up a little bit. We can hear Phil just fine. The other ones are a little difficult to hear.
All right. We'll remind him of that. Okay. So I didn't violate Valentine's Day afterwards. Great. Whew, I feel better.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. All right, we're going to move down to financial report from Jody. And Jody, somewhere else you were going to talk about finances too, weren't you? Or no, just here. Okay. Well, take it away, Jody.
Okay, Linda, you want to go ahead and go with your part first and I'll follow?
Yes, at the end of 2015 year, we had a total of $44,459 in State Bank of Southern Utah. Approximately $25,000 of that was assessment checks for 2016. Eliminating those 2016 checks, we ended up with $20,348 at the end of 2015 left from our 2015 budget. We currently have a total of $59,062.26 in the bank.
Question. So so we have cash on hand in our checking account, $22,000, I think you said. And the rest of the makeup of the $59,000, is that in what form is that in and where is that?
We have a savings account, and Jody wants to address. We have 2 checkings accounts, 3 checkings accounts. The main account that I use, one that is Paul's and Nancy's that they use for the ranch items, and then we have another one that was left over from previous use that is not functioning right now. In those accounts is, I would be guessing to tell you how much is in those accounts. Our assessments that we brought in is more than $20,000. That was just what we ended up with at the end of the year that we spent. So we have about 30 in assessments in now. So anyway, the account, there's also a savings account, which Jody, again, will address in her, what she's sharing with you today.
Okay, so from what I just heard, my recommendation, see if I'm out of line or not, it would be that, yes, we have We have a working account for that we supervise closely with Paul and Nancy, so it wouldn't have very much by way of funds in there, but funds can be transferred. And then we have a liquid type of savings account that we, as the assessments come in, we put that into those, I would think. Or
no, that is a capital improvement account, that savings account. The assessments stay in the main checking account.
Okay, so that main, when the assessments come in, that main checking account, are we on... it seems like there are different accounts where you can have them. Some of you bankers help me out here. You don't write a ton of checks out of those accounts, and you're making interest or better than interest money market kind of funds. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say we ought to have liquid accounts, we ought to have capital improvement accounts, and we ought to have a checking account that's not used very often for large ticket items so that we make a little bit on it. And a small account for Paul and Nancy. Can you tell me how we fall into that kind of organization, or can we do better than we are right now?
Can I
Jody,
address
do you
that?
Want to address that?
Yeah, I'll address that. Okay, well, so we have the main checking account that everything goes into, all of our income goes into. Now, on our budget profit loss statement, it's divided up into a 60% and a 40%, one for capital. So that's done like an accounting thing. Our checking account is where the assessments come in at. What we have between the three bank accounts now, we have the main account that we're using for when we write our checks. We have our savings account now that holds our reserve money. And we have Paul and Nancy's account. That is for, you know, daily operation at the ranch. We have one other account that I want to talk about, but I'll do that at the end of the financial. Right now, between all those accounts, we have about $60,000. As Linda was saying, we ended up with about $18,000 to $20,000 left over from the 2015 budget that I would like to see transferred into our savings account, and let's work 2016 off the monies coming in 2016, so that way our reserve savings account will be nicer. Also, during the last December, in our budget of 2015, we slotted $800 for replacement fund for the ranch house solar batteries. We slotted $1,000 for the replacement fund for the HQ water pump, and we slotted $1,000 for the replacement fund of the HQ generator. We have transferred that money over to the savings account now, so that's held in reserve. We also had a miscellaneous reserve fund slotted out of the 2015 budget, which will also transfer over into that. So right now in our savings, let me see where I wrote that. Excuse me. That was $6,300 we're transferring over. We already had about $1,700. So we have about $8,000 in the savings or reserve account fund right now. So with the $18,000 left over from the 2015 budget, I think that we should transfer between $15,000 and $18,000 over to the savings account again and just work off of our assessments that are coming in so we don't go crazy with money. You know, it's a lot easier to spend money when you have it laying on the table versus in a savings account. So I'd like to propose that we do that. Also, we have this old checking account that was used when we had the horseback riding operation. That's been carrying a balance of $1,800, and it makes no interest. So I recommend we close that account and transfer those funds into the savings account as well. The savings account does make a nominal amount of interest. So I'd like to first, I guess, make a motion that we close that old checking account and transfer the $1,813 over to our reserve savings account.
Is there any discussion on her motion?
I second.
Okay, we have a second from Leland, barring any discussion. I would only add, I'm okay. So all in favor of...
doing as proposed by Linda here. Not Linda, Jody. Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so unanimous move on that then, Jody. Thank you.
Thanks. So that'll be about $8,000 to $10,000 in our savings account, and then we can look at, do we want to go ahead and move the $18,000 into our savings account now? What's your thoughts? I'm thinking anywhere between $15,000 and $18,000 to. Excuse me, it's going to happen today. So between $15,000 and $18,000,
that's part of what we were all thinking. That's part of what we were approving. For you just to
no,
do
no, that's
that.
$1,800.
The last one was only $1,800.
Right. But you also had talked to us about moving that $18,000.
Yeah, that was going to be a separate motion on my part.
I think we ought to move it. Yeah.
Yeah, we all feel like you move it, and that's anyway. That's we were taking everything you told us, not just a little $1,800, but that other move
so
that money.
What portion would you like to move? The full 18 or 15,000?
The whole thing.
I say move the whole thing until we deem there's a need.
Okay, so I'll make the motion that we move the 18,000.
Okay, I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Everyone's in favor.
Okay.
May I make a comment?
Yes.
We should think about, as you had said, putting a portion of that in a money market account, and that's probably something that the board would have to address if we open another account with better interest for that savings account. So just give it some consideration.
Good idea.
That was going to be my next question as far as that savings account versus a money market account. A money market, we might not have the flexibility in and out as quickly. Some do, but most don't. Anybody have a recommendation, or do you have a recommendation on that, Jody?
No, I am not a financial advisor, I can tell you that. I think
we can look at it and bring it to the next meeting.
Okay, for instance, you know, last month we almost bought a large Traco, but it didn't prove to be worthy enough for us to buy it. But there's still a little research going on as to the possibility of whether it's better to lease a backhoe or to hire people with backhoes and things. And if we made that, this is all supposition. If we made the decision to buy or to lease, a piece of equipment, we have to keep in mind that how liquid is the money that we're putting aside here. And so with the volatile market, I don't know how good money markets are going to do right now anyway, so we might, for the time being, just leave it in the savings account, and we could get some opinions from Niles Willis or others as to best where to put that. Does everybody feel kind of okay with that attitude? All right. You have any other recommendations?
Well, you've got different monies here, and I think the $18,000 was a surplus from last year. It's really not part of the budget. That should be separated, and I have no problem looking to see what we can do with that. Our annual budget is what we're working off of. That needs to be in an area that we can access and so forth. That excess, to me, shouldn't be included with our budget, and we should be able to push that aside.
And that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
Okay. So then I would say maybe 50% of that. We could look at, say, $9,000, put it into a money market, leave it $9,000, just see how it works for a year, see if anyone has ideas along those lines.
Okay, well, none of us are true bankers, let's ask our accountant, Niles Willis, for some advice on that, and we'll cover that next month. Everybody feel okay about that? All right. Let's make that so, Linda or Jody, if you could communicate with Niles then on that.
I will accept that assignment. This is Linda.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Okay, very good.
Linda. And the last thing I would have is we did get email approvals from everybody on the 2016 budget. So I went ahead and sent that to Vance to be put on the website for members to review. So it should be online anytime. And that would
Great.
Be the end of my financial report.
Thank you very much, Jody. We appreciate all the hard work you do. I think
somebody else check in.
Did somebody else check into our meeting? We heard a little beep, like somebody might have checked in.
That was me. I'm just back on. I'm going in and out. This is Barry. So you'll hear me come and go a couple times as I have to check on my son's stuff.
All right, Barry. Thank you. Jeff, do you want to say anything more about the web development or other than you said already this morning?
Just that Bob Allen came and trained me on the communication equipment, so I'm here with that. Everything that's fine. So we have a backup.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
Were there some comments whether or not we could do some Skyping with some of these meetings?
Yes, Vance, maybe Vance can tell us his feelings on that. Vance?
Yes.
I'm not sure the whole process of how we're communicating, but the question has been raised by a few about Skyping, actually, in a sense, televising our meetings. I might have to comb my hair better, but can you give us any pros and cons on some of those other ways of members being able to be a part of the meeting?
Okay, well, a few years back, we tried to do an all Skype teleconference, not using this dial-in number. And what you learn right away is that Skype doesn't do that very well. If you get any more than, say, four or five people, everybody is breaking up and the calls are dropping. And that's audio only. If you go to video, it'll be even worse. So what we've got right now is pretty much the optimized kind of thing. You can Skype into that 702 number. If you've got a Skype account, you need to pay the $8 like every 3 months to be able to dial a landline. Big deal, you know. And then you can dial that 702 number and Skype it. But we've sort of arrived where we are because of a lot of trial and error.
Okay. Yes, Candy.
I had another question. Since this is communication, and it has to do with Linda as well, last meeting there was supposed to have been discussion, and Vance and Linda were going to go find out if there was another program for our telephone system. For the idea that it was $141 a month and we paid over $1,700 for X number a month, was there something that was looked into that we could decrease the phone bill for the ranch?
Yes, thank you, Candy. That was one of the things in our minutes and I overlooked that. Any comment on your part, Vance, on the phone system and bill and all that stuff?
Well,
I did talk to AT&T and I did reduce our phone bills by $30.
Good.
A month or a year?
A month. A month.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all feel confident that we're getting the biggest bang for our buck possible on our phone system currently.
Well, that's with the company that we are already in, which is AT&T, which seems to function the best out here. Vance has a Verizon, and he's got a different system, and he can speak to that. So,
we don't want to, especially since right now, since it's not working, tinker with it too much. It seemed high, so Linda and I emailed back and forth. She got the $30 off. Given that in the number of devices that we have on the account is only a few, you're kind of limited in what you can do. If you have five or more devices with just about everybody, you get a way better deal, but we're not going to get just more devices just so we can get a better deal. That would be sort of cutting off our nose to spite our face. So we just need to remember every now and then just look at it and then call those guys and wail on them a little bit, and they almost always figure something out.
Okay.
That's taught me how to wail.
Is this an agreement, $30 off for this year coming up and then call again, or is it on a contract basis? What is it?
We are not on a contract basis. They reduced our price because of the system that we were on. We changed the way we were doing things, and that brought our prices down.
Okay.
Another one?
Yes, Candy.
Since we're under communications with Jeff, there was discussion at the last meeting concerning new laptop, new communications for Linda. Was something acquired in terms of information or direction to take for a new computer?
Did you hear that, Vince?
Yeah, yeah, I remember. I remember that. We put some money
in.
Okay, let's see. Let's let Vance talk first, and then I think I heard Jody in there.
Yes.
Okay, Vance.
Yeah. We put money in the budget, which is it's more than enough to get something very good for whatever they want to do, and since they're the end users. If they feel like they want to send me a thing saying, hey, we found this, what do you think? You know, that's sort of where I'm just sort of sitting there as advisor on stuff like that.
Okay, Jody?
Yes, a lot of good sales were up and around at Christmas time. However, that's when I started getting my sickness, and I could not shop it. I looked at it through the ads online, but could not go out and shop it. Couldn't address that farther. I'd like to get it while it was cheaper. But the search will go on, and we'll wait and see if we get, you know, the best deal we can and hold off until that time. So we'll still be looking.
Very good.
Didn't Vance mention something about Dropbox in there the last time?
Yes, Linda and I spent a good half a day on that, trying to make that work where we could Dropbox the files back and forth for the QuickBooks. We were not successful at it. The internet speed where I live and where my office is so horribly slow. I don't know that it's a possibility. I am talking to my accountant now that uses Dropbox to do that function. However, she's just got back from Italy, so I haven't gotten to finalize like how exactly she's making it work to know if we can even... the attempts we've tried have not worked so far, so we're still going to look at it. We're still going to work on it, but with my internet being so slow and there is no other options out here, I don't know if it's going to be a viable way to go.
Dropbox is on our desktops, but it's not functioning well.
Well, just the speed of the uploads and downloads it's not coming through to my computer. It might take days to get a file down, but we'll be looking at that some more.
Okay. Thank you. If there are no other questions on the communications, then we're going to go to legal. And Jody, that's you, and you can tell us where we're at with the Water Committee, Bruce Jenkins, and with Bruce and Barry's help, where we're at. Can you tackle that, Jody?
Well, do you want to wait until Water Resources comes up? I don't have anything for legal per se.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's skip right to that. Then let's do about water. Let's talk about Water Resources. I see. I was trying to lump it all into one. So
okay.
Go for it, Jody.
Okay. During the November meeting, the board approved the proposed copy of Bylaw 12 and 13 that was presented from the Water Committee and agreed to send it on to the attorney for his review. The attorney would be Bruce Jenkins. And I want to make sure, can everybody hear me okay on this?
Yes, we're hearing you fine.
Okay. All right. At this time, a suggestion was made that after the review, we adopt it with any needed corrections as a rule to be implemented by the board until such time that we could get it approved by the membership, hoping that this would possibly allow members to submit applications to develop the neighborhood water systems as early as the January 2016 meeting. Then it could be sent out to the general membership for a vote at the annual meeting. We received input back from Bruce, which I have summarized, and I'm going to go through that today. In general, he believes that he and Barry can negotiate on the remaining items of conflict, except for the easement issue, which I'll talk about at the end of the summary. Last night, we also received some feedback from Barry on Bruce's input, and I've included some of his concerns within the summary. And Barry, as we go through this item by item, I'll wait till I'm done with that section and then ask you what your input is there, because I know you have some. Because there's a push to move forward.
Jody?
Yes?
I think Barry just clicked back in. Is that right, Barry?
I'm here. It just takes me a minute to get on and off mute, and I keep you on mute because it's so noisy here, but I am listening.
Jody, just repeat that last sentence about Barry and Bruce.
Okay.
Because I think he just got in here.
Okay. We've received input back from Bruce, which I'm going to go through in a summary below. In general, he believes that he and Barry can negotiate on the remaining items of conflict, except for the easement issue, which I'll talk about at the end. Last night, we also received some feedback from Barry on Bruce's input, and I've included some of his concerns within the summary. And here's where I went in to say, Barry, too many Bruces and Barrys here, that when I finish each section, I'll stop and allow you to put your input in there so we can keep it fluid as we go through the conversation, okay? So
that works for me.
Okay. Because there is a push to move forward and wanting to submit applications for water system development, I did email Bruce with the question of whether we could adopt the new agreement as our quote-unquote working agreement until such time that we can bring it to the vote at the next annual meeting or allow members to begin application. And his response was as follows. Current bylaw 12 is all the HOA has to govern water rights at this time. Any change to bylaw 12 must be made by the members, not the board. Thus, there can be no quote-unquote working agreement. It may be considered whether the board could adopt a rule, working agreement, to put the procedures for surface water right development in place now. However, there is a good argument that such a rule would be contrary to the requirement for a well in bylaw 12. Generally, rules that are contrary to the bylaws are void. Thus, the safest approach is to proceed under the premise that there is either a bylaw amendment or there is not. If not, then no action can be taken on any proposed surface water rights system. To do otherwise may pose a risk to the association and the board. I think this is Bruce thinking. I think a special meeting of the members should be called to vote on the proposed amendments once we work through the issues. This rather than waiting for the next annual meeting. Currently, the Section 13 of the bylaws require the following, the amendments. These bylaws may be amended by an affirmative vote or written consent of at least two-thirds majority of all votes cast. Though not stated expressly, I believe the presumption would be that this would require the vote of the members to amend the bylaws. Until the bylaws are officially amended, I do not see how an application can be processed. Okay, so that was the end of Bruce's summary, and my summary to put that all together is simply put, we really just can't adopt a working agreement to get us through until these amendments are approved. And this does create an issue with the members that wish to begin building the water systems this summer. So it's important that we try to reach mutual agreements with remaining obstacles as soon as possible. With that being said, I was going to move on to addressing the rest of the concerns, but I'll pause here now and let Barry.
Jody, shall I interject one thought that I had expressed to you earlier about the timing issue?
Yes, go ahead.
So we were hoping that we could just get through this, get it approved, move on, take application, blah, blah, blah. And now as you've read, legally, we can't. But we're all trying to make this happen, especially for Barry Clarkson and the group he represents. So I think we should... as soon as Barry and Bruce can iron out these last few little things, and there's one item I think we'll need to talk about today is a general feeling of the board. As soon as they can iron things out, and if that can happen in the next few weeks or the month or whatever, It might, maybe we can do it sooner. Maybe we can do it the end of March or third week of March or the normal board meeting time, the first part of April, where we can call for this special meeting of the members, and we can have ample time to send them all the information they might need and have a vote and have it take place. But Barry and their group's concerned as well. Now we got to wait till that happens, and then the board can take up to 60 days to approve or not. And so my proposal, Barry, is work like heck with Bruce. We'll try to cover one little thought or item today in the board meeting. But we can't sanction an application, but we surely, you could give us your application before that combined ranch meeting to approve or not. And so that any little questions or anything, we could have that all worked out so that at this next meeting in either March or 1st of April, hopefully we'd find out we'd have a positive two-thirds majority vote from the membership, hoping that that would happen after that vote's in and tallied and taken. We can make a motion right then and there and stamp your proposal and not have another 60 days on top of it. So that's my two cents of maybe the mechanics of how we might still speed this up and still get this done, do our due diligence and still have this done in a legal way that protects the ranch and its members and makes things move along. I'll turn it back over to you, Barry.
Just quickly, I from what Jody has communicated with the board, I agree with that, and I agree that with Bruce that the safest way is to, go ahead and have a member vote. My concern is unless that can happen quickly, which you kind of addressed, Bill, unless that can happen quickly, then it makes it more and more difficult as time goes on to keep people in a cooperative mood and willing to work. So I think if everybody can do what they can to speed up the process, that addresses my concern, and I don't have any real qualms on this issue at all with Bruce. I do agree that this is the safest way. I don't know that it's the only way, but if we can get from point A to point B, I think we just need to work that direction. So that's all I have on that point.
Okay. I think on behalf of the board, Barry, everybody with me, I hope, we'd like to have you be able to go ahead, and we just want to get this, all our I's dotted and T's crossed, and so we'll work and do everything we can to expedite things, and you can, hopefully have that ready to go, and hopefully the members will vote in the affirmative. So I'll turn it back over to you now, Jody.
Okay, thank you. All right, continuing on with the next item of concern that Bruce has is concerning bylaw number 12, page 1, fourth paragraph, the item of being able to sell or transfer the 0.20 acre feet of water within the membership. Bruce is questioning if we should be doing this as it could create a problem for future owners. Per the stats of the Department of Water Rights, one full-time single family requires 0.45 acre feet of water per year, and a part-time or seasonal residence requires 0.25 acre feet per year. So by nature of the ranch, it should not be an issue for certain lots to only carry the 0.25 acre feet, which we're leaving, that we're making sure is left on each lot, as those lots may not be accessible all year round because we know a lot of the lots are not. But, however, this could be a problem for lots in the lower areas of the ranch like Podunk or Broad Hollow, those by the airstrip and those close to the headquarters. In the future, some of these lots may be utilized for year-round residents. We already have some of those now. So if we do make the change to the bylaw that they would be short the adequate amount of water needed for full-time use if they plan to live there full-time. Some may argue that if that were to come to happen, the lot owner could apply then for their 1.73 acre feet from the state and drill their own well using that as along with the 0.25 that we're leaving them. That's an option for them. However, you know, my thought is, why mess with it now and change it all up when would it not be more responsible to leave the 0.45 acre feet intact for those lots and let the individual lot owners now that want more water to the lots apply for their 1.73 feet as needed? We wouldn't then not be putting ourselves as the association in a position of not having the recommended amount of water needed to sustain a full-time family if one were to come and want to do so. So, and in response to, I'll let Barry comment on this in a second. In response to your email last night, Barry, yes, our current bylaw states that all members will receive the 0.45 acre foot of water with each 20 acre Deer Springs Ranch unit. It also states such water rights will remain in the name of the association until member is ready to drill a well. This is one of our reasons for going to change the bylaws, because that's been an argument from the beginning, is there is no suggestion or statement in the bylaw stating that the member is okay to develop a water system from an association-owned water source. But we do want to make sure that everybody has their share of the water, hence that's why we're looking at changing these bylaws. So
Jody,
go ahead, and you can have
Jody,
input now.
Jody, I'm going
yes.
to take a little straw poll vote right now, just partway through this discussion, to just get a feel for how the board members in attendance feel about whether we should allow a partitioning of water, as has been proposed, to where we just leave it at 0.25 and or if we should, or whatever it was, 2.8, or we should leave it
0.45.
So,
or should we let Barry comment first so they have both sides of information?
Okay, yes, that's very good suggestion. Thank you, Barry.
The only thing I'd point out is something I can certainly discuss with Bruce. I would be interested in knowing what the vote of the board was. We had a lengthy discussion of this at the first meeting where we proposed, and I felt like, you know, Joe was involved in the discussion. I felt like we came to an accommodation and a compromise that worked for everybody, and now we're renegotiating. At the end of the day, I think it's important to be able to move a portion of the water. Jody's point is that if you move the water, then somebody would have to reapply or apply to the state for additional water and drill a well. The application to the state certainly would be a requirement to get additional water, but no new well would have to be drilled. It's just a matter of then associating or taking the point of diversion from the same source you already have. So it wouldn't require drilling a new well. You simply are allowed to then pump more water out of the same source. But I'm interested to hear what the board has to say. I feel like it's important that we have some flexibility. Initially, I felt it was important to be able to move the entire water rights from one lot owned by someone to another lot owned by that same party. And again, we discussed it at length. We came to a compromise that we would allow the transfer of 0.2 acre feet out of the 0.45. But let's see what the board has to say. And then I can certainly work on that point and see where we go from here.
Okay. So I'll take it from here for a second. So, board, it is true, Barry, we talked about that, and we were thinking that was a compromise. I guess in light of the information that Bruce Jenkins has given us, and in light of one other thing that I don't think all of us really realize, that the subdivision lots, I think they are set up for seasonal use. I think that's even a part of the water right. And I don't know that we all recognized or understood that at the time we made this compromise kind of vote. So in other words, we compromised saying, yeah, okay, well, we don't want to see, most of us didn't want to see all of the water rights be able to be moved, because we didn't want some future lot owner to come in and then have no water rights. Whether they would do their due diligence and know that or not, we don't know. But still, we wanted them to have at least enough for culinary use. But now we find out that's okay for most of the lots for seasonal use, but not for year-round use. Is everybody clear on that one point? So if you live in Podunk and you live there year-round,
you've got to have 0.45 acre feet of water. If some lot owner was, 2 acre feet was given away, and then he wanted to live there year round, technically he'd be in violation. Does that make sense now?
He'd have to apply to the state.
Yes, uh-huh, yeah. So, just, Joe?
Yeah, okay, I was the one that made the 0.25 suggestion because I thought we were going to transfer the 0.45, and I wasn't in favor of that at all. I have since rethought the whole thing, and I'm 100% against transferring anything. The 0.45 should stay as is, and I will oppose it in every way I can.
Okay.
At 0.45.
Well, we're all trying in good faith to reach a compromise, I know, and that's Barry's bringing that up, that we did that at that time. But I don't think we had all the facts, as Bruce Jenkins is pointing out. And I don't know, see, if they have 0.25 and then they want to not apply for the state for the 1.78, Barry, you're talking about them going back and applying, but once a 0.45 acre feet is taken away from a lot, that lot cannot apply to the ranch for common water and get another 0.45 or another 2 or anything. Isn't that right, Barry?
Yes, that is correct. We've addressed, based on the ability to move water as I initially had drafted it, we put in restrictions in the proposal. It says once you get the 4 or 5 acre feet for lot 100, for example, that lot 100 could not apply later for more water. Obviously, they could approach the association about buying or whatever or apply to the state. But that is correct. Once that water partially or completely were transferred away from that lot, the association thereafter would have no obligation to give out or hand out or transfer any more water to that particular lot, even if it's owned by a different party. So
their only recourse would be to apply to the state for the 1.78, is correct?
7.3.
Or 7.3, correct?
Yes.
If they wanted more water. Okay. All right, then.
That's correct.
All right, so with that understanding, everybody clear on that? John, you have a question?
I have a question on that. Now, the ones who are wanting to the water transferred, why couldn't they just go ahead and apply for the water from the state?
I agree.
Push it on down. I mean,
the people that are wanting to take somebody or buy or have transferred 0.45 from one lot to another, why don't they go ahead and apply?
Why couldn't they just go ahead and apply to the state?
Well, I think they can. I think they can. But Mary, maybe you can address why you want that option of trying to transfer water.
Less time-consuming, I don't think.
And John's correct. There's no reason why the person wanting more water on their lot can't apply to the state first rather than transferring. That is correct. The original thought behind it was if someone had two lots to be able to transfer their water right from one to the other to be able to maximize or to be able to use more water on a particular lot for a gardening or whatever they want. But all of your points are valid that person without transferring water can at this point certainly apply to the state, get their 1.75 or whatever acre feet available. And so that's correct. I'm just trying to keep it open for the possibility of using more water on one lot. But after a lot of discussion, I was willing to and thought it would be a good idea to restrict that down to 0.25. And sounds like Joe for sure is against transferring any water. I know Jody is also against transferring any water. If we want to take a straw poll among the board, I certainly can take that into consideration in my discussion with Bruce and see where it goes.
Okay, we'll do that right now, but I have one last little question. If you have two adjoining lots, like I do, I have two adjoining lots, the one of my lots is up the hill and over the top and down the mountain, and but whatever the situation, if somebody owns two lots or three lots or whatever, as long as they're adjoining, can you not, if you have a well like I do, can you not pipe water anywhere you want on your adjoining lots? Or are you restricted to where you can only put it on your lot? What do you think?
Technically speaking, you have to identify the point of use and what you're doing with the water, and it has to be so theoretically, no, you can't fly whatever you want from one lot to the other and use it however, you know, that distinction has never been much as far as legal. I mean, people do it all the time. If you have a water right on one piece of property, you certainly, the state's not going to interfere with your pipe mixed together, whether there's an extra water right on the other lot or not. So, I can understand the concern, and I think we see what the board feels and then move forward. I don't know how else to address it. It's either something that's going to fly or it's not.
Okay, but I think like in my situation, I could move with the state to move my point of diversion to my lot for my adjoining lot. However, that adjoining lot would still own the water right. And I think it comes to play in the proving up stage where you have to prove up how you use it.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, we have two more questions here. Leland and then John.
I'm just thinking, you know, we started talking about this to protect the lots from always having water, each lot, correct?
Wanted to make sure that nobody
sell it and then try to sell a piece of property and not have water. And, you know, and there are multiple people out there, members who have multiple lots. And I understand their concern, but at the same time, if they choose to sell a lot that they've sold the water off of, then it's sitting there without water. So if you leave that 0.45 on there and just put it in there that they are required to apply to the state for their extra water, then that solves the issue that if you want more water, you apply for it.
Okay, John? Okay, well, we're saying that you can't transfer it from one lot to the other, but are we not doing the same thing as
by
taking it from the ranch house down there?
Well, you can transfer the point of diversion, but you can't separate off the ownership right now. So if I had, my two lots together, so I have my 0.45 on each. If I wanted to say my other 0.45 point of diversion is my well.
I follow you. You've got to have two points of diversion then.
Well, no, it would still be coming out of my well on my one lot, but my other lot would still own that water.
It's still own the water. Well, that was my point. We're doing that exactly that when
right.
I go down and get it from a ranch source.
Right, exactly.
And so
that wouldn't
stop somebody from using their two lots, 2.45.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so the question, if you think this is a fair question, then the straw poll question here is, you'll be voting yes or no. Yes, you are in favor of allowing partitioning of water, holding to our previous compromise thing of transferring two shares of water, or no, you feel like no water should be transferred, the water should remain with each lot and not be transferable. That question sound fair, Barry? Did I word it okay?
Yeah, I think that's straightforward, yeah.
Okay. So... So in other words, the yes vote is let's leave it the way we made a compromise, that they can transfer two shares of water. The no vote is no. At this time, we feel that no water should be transferred off of a lot. So we're talking about do you
allow 0.25 to be transferred, or you won't allow it? Have to stay 0.45.
Yeah, so all in favor of allowing water to be transferred as our compromise agreement had stated in the proposed water amendment, all those in favor of that say yes. Do I hear any yeses? All those who are not in favor of that in light of the new information and not wanting to approve any transfer of water, say aye.
Well, I'm confused on that. I want to leave it at 0.45.
Say aye. And this is a straw vote that can be changed.
I think we can. If you want to turn it from straw to a motion, it doesn't make much difference because Barry and Bruce are going to be talking about this. So I think straw vote is good enough for now. Barry wants to know our feeling, and that's so. All who are not in favor of partitioning water or transferring water, say aye.
Aye. Let them work on it.
Oh, okay, Barry.
That sounded good. Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. It was unanimous that in light of the new information that our straw poll is we don't feel comfortable in having any transfer of water. We can still be advised that we didn't take it as a motion, but that's our current feeling. We have ears and hearts open to listening still.
Okay, well, I will take that into the discussion group.
Very good. Thank you very much. Jody, anything else you want to say at this time? There was, I think, one more item you had.
Oh, there's a couple more, Bruce.
Okay,
but they should be shorter. Okay, the next one that he had concerns about or reservations on is on page 2, second paragraph, first come, first serve clause may cause a rush on the bank. Now, we've all talked about it before, and it's an issue of concern, but there really isn't, I don't see any alternatives to it. It seems reasonable to me that whoever has the desire, the need, and the money first should be allowed to pursue the source. I thought about it long and hard, and I just can't come up with any alternatives either. I haven't heard any alternatives from anybody else either. As long as the source is still available to those that come after, I don't know why that doesn't work. Logistically speaking, can multiple water systems can be developed from the same source, assuming that there's enough water to allow it. If another group in the neighborhood wanted to develop a system 10 years after the first system is in place, are they able to develop a second off the same source, or will they be required to hook into the first system, and what if the first system is not designed to allow to do this? During the conversation with Bruce about this topic, he made the suggestion that perhaps the wellhead, meaning from the source, the area that it's the source where the water is coming from, perhaps that should not be controlled by the neighborhood group, but instead by the association, and he explains it as follows. The first group that wants to develop a water system pays the full cost to develop the wellhead, but those costs are itemized separately. If and when another neighborhood group finds the need to develop another system from the same source, they use the same wellhead, and as part of a recaptured period plan, repay the original group a prorate share for the cost it took to develop the wellhead. The new group reimburses the original group a percentage of the initial cost of the wellhead based on the percentage of water that they will need to take off the source. Kind of gets a little bit complicated in that.
I think I understood what you said. Everybody, any questions from anybody else?
So what that basically means is it allows the first-come, first-served scenario to stay in place, but also allows for future systems the same opportunity. But here I'd have to direct this question to Vance. Vance, once a group develops the water source, can a group come in 10 years later, 10 feet down the line, and do the same thing, or are they restricted to having to tie on to the system that's already there?
No, you can have multiple people. It depends on what you define as source, whether it be well or spring or whatever. What needs to happen is what makes sense for that particular given situation. The only problem I see that occurs is that if somebody develops a spring to the point where it supplies their current needs, their current water system, they shouldn't be required to throw extra money in for a possible connection in the future and throw a lot of money at a big source development that may never happen. Conversely, if the people in the future come back and they find out that as currently developed, a spring, I'm using spring because that's probably what it's going to be, won't supply the needs of both, then they have to negotiate with each other to either A, improve the existing source such that it will, or B, start all over from scratch and try to figure out a way to add another spring box. You know, it's mostly just a technical issue. And don't forget, one thing that we always need to remember in this whole discussion is that we can talk about and write up and do whatever we want, but the state is the ultimate arbiter on all of this stuff. We can try to do the best we can, but if an application crosses their desk that they don't like for some reason, they trump everybody.
Okay, so the example we're dealing with is the fact that the Meadow Canyon Spring has a great amount of water rights in it, or water capability, more so than the potential applicants coming up would be using. But I liked what Jody said about and how everybody is protected, not only the ones down the road, but the initial designers. I think I understood that. Does everybody feel fairly comfortable with that? Yes, Leland.
I think that it's a good thing if they allow the option, leave the option open for those who come later. Mm-hmm. Say somebody else fronted all the money and put the system in, and somebody come back, bought a piece of property later and said, hey, I want some water. If they leave the option open for them to pay to tie in. In other words,
the original company, if they have the capacity, we want to ensure that, well, yeah, these people are expected to pay, but if they have the capacity, they just can't say, no, you guys comb your hair different than we do. We don't want to give you any. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Barry, how do you feel about what we just said?
Well, I agree 100% with Vance that's already taken care of in state law. There's two situations.
Yeah.
One, you've got a well, and if somebody says we want to connect into an existing system that's already addressed in the proposal, if they say, hey, your connection's too expensive, they have the option of drilling their own well. So the well issue isn't really a problem. The spring issue is a little bit different in that you're going to put in a capture device of some type to capture a portion or all of the water and put it in the water system. And state law says that if someone else has that same point of diversion, then they're allowed to capture water and to either, if they wanted to use the same caption box, they would have to bear some of the burden of the original structure, but the capture box isn't a terribly expensive part of things. Or the state law will allow them to connect in, and I mean, they have to be allowed under state law to be able to use the same water source. So it's really not an issue that we have to address in this proposal, and that there's already an existing body of law that relates to that and takes care of it and addresses that concern.
Very good. So I feel comfortable that, you and Bruce can put wording to that effect that covers all parties, present and future, trying to comply with state law that would allow it anyway. Everybody else on the board feel okay about that? So our straw poll on that is move ahead, Barry, with Bruce, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Jody, anything else?
Okay, yeah, next one up. Okay, another short one here. In the proposed bylaw number 13, where it refers to the written notifications being sent to members that wish to participate in any new systems, right now it's the verbiage is proof of mailing. Bruce suggests we change it to the proof of receipt of notification from members that choose to or not to participate in the neighborhood water system. Bruce is also recommending, since some of our members, a lot of them are out of state, he recommends a 60-day time frame for members to respond to that initial letter sent. He thinks 30 days is pretty short on a financial decision of this size, especially if they're out of town or on vacation and come back 3 weeks later and find this note that they've got 1 week to reply to. He also is recommending that we compose a formal notice of system that's sent out to the members when a water system is being developed that would be pretty much fill in the blank here. We would have it all outlined, ready to go, and then the group water system people, the neighborhood, would fill in the blanks like where the system is, how much it's going to cost, all the details that can be given at that time. So my thought on that is I don't have a preference for the 30 days or 60 days. I don't, you know, I'm just going by what the attorney says there. But I do believe a formal notice would prevent any misrepresentations or misinterpretations to all the parties involved. But I do really think that we need to have that formal notice in place and all be consistent for every water system at the ranch.
Okay, so your question is, do we feel we really need a formal notification system? Is that right?
Well, yeah. First, you know, Bruce is, do we want to give them 30 days or 60 days to respond? And should we have a formal notice, a pre-written form for this?
All right. Let me take a straw vote on that to guide Bruce and Barry. So far, the suggestion from Bruce is that we have 60-day notice and that we have a standardized form of notification. All do feel that that is appropriate.
Right now, it's as written, it's 30 days.
Now, yeah, let me ask. Yeah, I think so.
That's 30 days, but they do receive a notification, correct?
But the notification can be written up any way by anybody doing the water system. So do we want to stipulate?
Should be a designated form.
A designated form that gives certain information we feel is appropriate for everybody to have?
I think that a designated form would be good. I don't know that the 60-day thing. I think 30 should be, personally, I think.
Okay, so we have a 30.
30.
I'm all for the recommendation, 60 and the standardized form.
Leland?
60.
I'm in favor of 60 in case, because there's people who live out of state, people go on vacations.
Yeah.
2 weeks could be gone really quick on a vacation, and you, all of a sudden you only got 2 weeks out of the 30, half of it's gone. So it should be 60, and it should be a form.
Okay, so we have the straw vote is we have 4 in favor of 60-day with standard form. We have 2 in favor of 30-day with a standard form. That's for your information then, Barry, and Jody, you can relate that to Bruce, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I didn't hear your vote, Jody.
I'm in favor of the designated standard form. The 30 or 60, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay. All right, so
we have 5 in favor of the standard form.
So the board in general leans in favor of 60 days, but there are 2, possibly 3, that it doesn't matter as much to.
Okay.
Okay. So that's just, I think, if Barry and Bruce have to flip a coin, maybe they'll flip a coin.
Okay. That's...
But the standard form, I think we're pretty resolved on.
Okay.
Okay. Next, Jody.
Okay. The next issue that Bruce brought up was dealing with maintenance, and I think the board members I've talked to are, well, I'm going to read it to you, and then you can make it mine. Currently worded, all damage that occurs to an easement crossing association-owned property must be repaired by the member or members installing the system. Bruce suggests including damage to non-association-owned land as well. When permission from a lot owner is given to the developing group to use the easement, the group should be responsible to restore the area to the condition it was prior to the installation of the utility line. As currently worded, there is no responsibility to the group to do so. And although there is not a lot of probability that a leak in a group's water system could cause significant damage to any association-owned land or structure, Bruce recommends that the association should have the ability to make any necessary repairs if possible, danger or personal to person or property exists. A few of us have went through that back and forth, and we just don't feel there's enough concern there that anything could be in possible danger. But, you know, Bruce is an attorney, so that's why he recommends if if we have to. We don't want to make any repairs, but if we have to because personal property or a person or is in danger, if that exists, then we can take care of it. But I think, anyway, that's what it is.
So we can take care of it and build the water company or the water system.
Yeah, we would fix it. You know, we have the right to turn it off. We've already got that in there. We can turn off the system if it springs a leak, and that's most likely what's going to happen. But he just wanted the clause in there in case something were, if it's possible danger to person or property exists, we can repair it and then build a system, the water system for it.
Okay.
And maybe in consideration of the other party, that a reasonable attempt would be made to contact them and to notify them, hey, you got to fix this. Can you fix it? If you can't fix it, we'll fix it. You
well,
know. But we don't really want to be in the... We don't want to really be in the fix it
no.
guys. We don't
no.
really want to. That's a last resort to us.
No, and this would not be something that we'd have to call and ask for, because this would be like an emergency situation where we wouldn't have time to say, "Hey, you have 20 seconds to fix this, or it's going to blow all over." This would have to be like an emergency. It's going to happen now.
Yes, Vance.
So, this is extremely redundant. If we shut the water off, the water is shut off. End of story. They either repair it in an expeditious manner or they don't. They're down. They are down until that is done. I don't understand why we have to worry about the repairs.
Well, okay, here's what the one scenario came up with talking with Bruce. Say you have an 80,000-gallon tank of water on the top of the hill. It springs a leak. It's not, you can't shut off the water system because that's not going to help it. That 80,000-gallon water tank is going to flow out. And if there is a property below it that has a cabin, and that water is just going to, that hole is going to get bigger and bigger until someone gets up there to patch it up real quick, that 80,000 gallons of water could come tumbling down on the neighbor's cabin. That would be like an extreme emergency. Would that ever happen? Probably not. That's why he would like to have the clause in there to help in that situation. I don't know if it's needed or not, but I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
This is Barry. I'm back, so I missed a little bit, but let me address the 80,000 gallon tank. First of all, there's a requirement in the proposal that we identify where the valves are. There's nobody on this earth that's going to install an 80,000 gallon tank without a valve on the outside of the tank. And so I don't think this is an issue that we really need to get involved in or redraft the proposal around. It just practically doesn't make any sense.
Barry, question though. You might have a relief valve, but where does that relief valve drain to?
Well, hang on. We're kind of putting the cart before the horse. Don't forget that we get to approve their plans, so it's incumbent on us to make sure that build the thing so that things like this can be taken care of by shutting valves off. Now, if you have a tank that blows a hole in the side, nobody in the world can fix that anyway. So there you go.
Yeah, only you could have a way to drain the remaining water.
Right, and that throws the responsibility back on us and the water system people to design the system for contingencies like that. And if we get a design and we say, hey, what happens if the tank blows and if we don't see enough valves, then we mark up their plan and give it back to them in the approval process.
Okay, John has a question.
Well, first place, I thought we covered this before.
We did, but there's just not this added clause.
Yeah, but here's the thing. All of those tanks have an overflow, and they run that overflow to some place where it's generally not bothering somebody.
That's what we'll make sure of. When
case in point, I've looked at the one that Dale put up there, and it has one. And I believe we have one on our tank over there near towards Vance's place. Now, if the thing blows, the laws of the state, just the current laws we have, if something on my property damages my neighbor's property, I'm liable.
Sure,
period.
Sure.
No matter what we have to put in.
We just want to be able to avert the, we want to lessen the problem.
Yeah, well, the only reason, I'm saying this, and as Vance says, this is a little redundant, and we're in danger of rewriting the whole thing here, and we've been trying to get this thing settled. Now, we're not going to get perfect.
Yeah, I know. My point is, I would say that redundancy never hurt anybody, to be honest. And you don't have to rewrite all of the previous stuff to put in one last redundant thing.
Yeah.
That's what attorneys are noted for. They put their documents are so long, so much longer than we would do. But they do that for a reason, because on occasion it happens.
That's right.
So if it doesn't, I don't know how it would encumber the process or the contract more just to add one more redundant statement, which we might all think is redundant, but we might be very grateful for in the event the one in a thousand happened. If it's not a big deal to add it, why worry about it? Add it.
I understand. I also understand that our attorney is doing his job, if he's paid to do, to point out every little thing that he can.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that we have to change the whole thing. I don't know. I don't think, but I saw a lot of things in there that were to be changed in there. I
don't think adding a statement like that would have to change that whole other document, would it, Barry? You there, Barry? I don't hear Barry.
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
What was your question again? Sorry, it takes me a minute to get it off of mute.
Okay. My question was, Vance thinks it's kind of redundant. John thinks it's kind of redundant. It may be redundant, but my point was, well, if redundancy isn't bad, if it doesn't mean you have to rewrite the whole entire document, if you can add just this other redundant statement just to cover your rear end for the 100-year storm, why not add it if it's not a big deal?
The issue here is whether you can fix or take care of emergency situations. What's being inserted here is if the ranch takes care of an emergency situation, then they have the right to lien someone's lot. That's pretty complicated as far as how it's drafted in the document. It's not just a matter of adding a sentence. There has to be more explanation as to the procedure and those kind of things. So it's fairly complicated to add this particular redundancy. So,
well, all right, then. I would submit we're paying Bruce for this advice, and we will let him negotiate that with you.
That sounds reasonable.
It's reasonable, but as Barry points out, it will take some additional things on how do you collect that money. And so the mechanics of that, we're not going to figure out. We'll let you, Barry, battle that with Bruce. Is that fair?
That's fair. I cut off for a second. Sorry, my phone went out. At the end of the previous discussion on whether we were going to require some kind of a form notice and whether we were going to go 30 or 60 days as far as the notice to the other members, and I wanted to throw in a point right as my phone died, and that is any city ordinance that deals with property requires, in typically, 14 days notice. If you're a property owner, there's no reason to have to, and I don't care whether it requires receipt or proof of mailing. When it's certified mail, the assumption is that you're going to get a green card back identifying that it was delivered. So that's not a big deal. But to add another 30 days to the process when any city ordinance or any other property requires a maximum of 30 days notice, it's just there to slow down the process.
Okay. Hang on one second. In light of that, is there more discussion from the board on the day?
Some of these members are...
I can't hear what's being said, just so you know.
What Leland pointed out, and Joe agrees on, is the fact that we aren't all full-time residents in that little area, like in a city, where you can depend on postage, postal things. I mean, we can send postal things across the country, no problem. That's true. But,
yeah, I think the mail, no matter where you're at, is going to be 2 days, and you're sending it certified mail. The rules apply whether you live in New York and own property in California or otherwise. So, an extra 30 days doesn't make sense to me, but I'm listening to what you have to say.
Here's something from Joe.
I got to disagree with that 2 days. I can't get a letter from the Canadbury in less than 7 most of the time. It goes from Kanab to Salt Lake or Provo, and back. It comes down here. The average letter I get from Utah takes a minimum of 7 days.
Well, that still leaves you 21 days to contemplate what your response is going to be.
Okay, Barry, we're not going to take a strong vote on this. Our straw poll vote initially was 4 were in favor of 60 days, 3 were, 2.5 didn't care. I kind of stopped in my position. So I'm going to let you and Bruce, we'll let you and Bruce talk about this, but I think we're pretty strong on the fact that we want to put him in.
You're cutting out. I think you said that you're pretty strong on having a form included that is a form to be sent to members.
Yes, we want to assure that the type of notification, the things that are in the information given to the member, are consistent. And so we're pretty strong on that point. I think we have certain people feel strong way one way or other on the 60, 30 days. But, we're kind of divided. We could compromise on that. Hers and Bruce's opinion on that.
Okay. Is there anything else? I'm going to have to go here in a second.
I think that's it. Jody, is that it?
Well, we've got two more items to talk about.
Let me just... Everybody,
you're cutting out for some reason.
Okay, everybody quickly said, well, how about 45 days? So there you have it.
5 days works.
Okay, Jody.
Okay, next thing we're moving on to, it's just a matter of inserting a phase into an approval of components of water system. Number 10 in sentence C. The approval of board shall be limited to the set forth herein, including location of an easement, location of the valves, and other parts of the system that lie within existing way or near culverts, depth of water line, and surface restoration plans following a construction-owned property. There's just suggested in there, including water, including source protection zone in the statement after water line. Just inserting one word.
Say that last part one more time.
Bruce has suggested that we just include the fourth zone in the statement after water line.
Hey, Barry, if you're listening, if you can put on mute, the background noise from your basketball game or whatever is really hard on us.
Oh, so I'm going to have to cut out for just a second. I'll be right back, but I'll mute in the meantime. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, Joey.
Yes.
We got most of it except for that last little part, I think.
Okay. Bruce suggests that we include adding the source protection zone in the statement after water line. So he just wants to make sure source protection zone is included in what we're protecting.
Well, won't the state mandate or regulate that? The source protection.
This is the review and approval of the board shall be limited to the requirements set forth herein, including location of an easement, location of the valves, and other parts of the system that lie within the existing roadway or near culvert, depth of water lines, source protection zone, and surface restoration plans following construction of association-owned property. Vance, you'll have to answer that one.
Wait a minute. Could you just read the way it is or the way he's proposing it?
No, that's what I wrote it the way he's proposing it, adding in the source protection zone.
Well, that's a system component which is already addressed in my opinion. But the one thing to remember about source protection zones is that if the people who put the system in do not go for culinary, and they probably won't, then source protection zone is not an item.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Go ahead. To me, the current language says something, you know, has a laundry list of water system items or a reference to that, correct?
Yeah, it does say other parts of the water system.
Okay, well, source protection zone. I mean, if you want to get specific and spell it out, that's fine. But to me, it's just a component of the water system.
Okay, that's all I'm just reporting.
I would say nobody objects to that. So
let them fight it out.
Go back to Bruce and say, generally, we feel okay about it. Fight it out with Barry.
Okay, got it. All right, the last one's the biggie, and this one I know Barry will want to be a part of. Barry, you back?
I am. I'm back.
Okay. I'll go ahead and read. This is about the easements, and this is the one that Bruce is most concerned about. Our current PCNRs read that easements, all lots are subject to utilities, access, and drainage easements as specified on the recorded plat and established by prior use. Bruce's concern is that this statement does not identify who gets the benefit for the use of that easement. Number 8 in the proposed bylaw number 13 is currently worded giving the group developing the water system the right to utilize the easement without asking the other lot owner for permission. As discussed in previous board meetings regarding an easement issue for a driveway, it has been determined that the easement area between private individual lots had to be negotiated between those lot owners. Example, if lot B owner wanted to put a driveway in, but it crossed through the easement of lot C, lot owner B would have to ask permission from the owner of lot C prior to doing so. If lot C gave their blessing, lot B was okay to move forward. If owner of lot C said no, the outcome would then need to be decided by the court. They could take it on a civil matter. The association would only become involved if it was association-owned land that they were dealing with. So my question is, should we not hold the same practice when laying the water lines or utility? If the neighborhood group needs to go through an easement of another private lot owner, should they not be required to obtain permission from the other lot owner, and proof of that permission should be submitted with the plan? And Bruce has three different approaches to this question for options four. So number one, we could leave the water policy as it is with the right to put the water lines in the 30-foot easement shown on the plat. Such a position will cause the board to stick its neck out a bit because neither the plat nor the PCNR is currently defined who has the right to use the easements. The plat map states that the easements are for the benefit of private lot owners, but the question would be, which owners? The one wishing to put in a road, driveway, or utilities, or the owner of the lot in which they will run? Okay, that's option number one. Bruce thinks that's the worst of the three that he's presenting. Number two, change the water policy to require those installing a neighborhood water system to negotiate easements over adjoining owners' property, whether such easement is to be located inside or outside the 30-foot easement area, and he thinks that would be okay. Number three, this is the best way to go, and we all know this is the best way to go, but depending on if it will pass or not, by vote of the members, amend the PCNRs to define that everyone, the HOA, the county, and the individual owners, can use the 30-foot easement for utility lines. This would allow the current language in the proposed water policy with respect to the 30-foot easement to remain, and yet would not involve the same risk because the members would have voted to define who has the right to use the 30-foot easement. Bruce would like the board to determine which of the above options they would prefer so he will know how to proceed with discussions with Barry. If we do not want to opt for changing the PCNRs at this time, option two would be the best way to proceed. So I'm asking you now, and we need to have some discussion on it with the board. This is our last thing that we have to decide. on which way we'd like to see this going so that he can work this out with Barry. Now, understand, we are part of this, we are attempting to change the bylaw, so the bylaw has to go to the membership for his vote as well. What's the big deal about adding on the PCNRs at the same time? Well, it just adds another whole big plate to swallow at the same time. So if we need to repeat number 1, 2, and 3, I'll be happy to do so if there's questions on that. And then I'll let Barry respond now.
Let me just say one thing here first, and then we'll have a review or let Barry respond. Just want to clarify, for a bylaw change, we just need to have two-thirds majority. For a PCNR change, it's three-fourths majority. We didn't come close to that in this last thing. Perhaps another vote we might, but it's very, very difficult to change that. So this option, let's see. So option number one kind of realizes that. Is that right, Jody?
Yes.
Option three is we try again.
Well, option three is to try to amend the PCNRs, which we have not done before recently, anyway. Which
so my,
we
my,
can try,
my,
if it doesn't work, we go to option one or two, but if we even want to go to option three.
Well, we're going to have, I feel like we're going to have a vote anyway on the bylaws.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's that much. Yes, it is a sticky thing, and it is, will take some stuff, but if we're going to go to all this trouble to have a special vote, we might as well put it out there to them, but we might as well be realistic that it may not pass. And so that's why I would say, I would recommend to you members of the board that we really, in practicality, looking at option one or two, wanting to try, but we'll have a vote on it, but we're going to have to pick between one and two, because it probably won't pass. Does that make sense? Make sense? So let's let Barry talk, and then we'll take our little vote. Barry?
Well, I respectfully completely disagree with Bruce. The plat map clearly, as I've sent a copy to each one of you, clearly identifies, as Jody said, that the easement is for the benefit of private lot owners. Very clear English what it is. Now, an easement never goes to benefit the party that owns the property over which the easement crosses. There's no sense in having an easement on your own property, and the law, in fact, does not even recognize an easement that a person owns across their own property. It extinguishes the easement. So, who can those private lot owners be? Clearly, they were set up on the perimeter to be able to allow for, and it's set out again in the agreement with the county when the original subdivision was platted, that these easements run to private lot owners. Those are the private lot owners in the area, not the person who owns the lot over which the easement goes, because that doesn't make any sense. It's not even recognized in the law. So what we have is PCNRs and a recorded agreement with the county and a plat map which clearly say that the easements exist and that they are for the benefit of private lot owners. I don't see any need to amend the CCNRs. Let me clarify that. I see a need to amend the CCNRs to add clarity to this issue, but that's not something that's going to happen very quickly, and certainly not without drafting and re-debating and taking a significant amount of time, which doesn't allow for the speedy process. If we're going to hold up the water project or proposal to amend the CCNRs, we're looking at several months, if not years. So I would urge you to just leave the language how it is, let private property owners deal with what the easements are or aren't on their own. The association should basically let the property owners affected resolve things. Obviously, it's always better to discuss and ask permission and work those kind of things out. But at the end of the day, this is a matter that should and can be resolved with the courts. If there is a dispute between the property owners, and the association should avoid getting involved in that. So That's my position.
Thank you, Barry. That clarified things for me quite a bit. I'd like Jody to just read the options 1 and 2 again then to us, and then we'll have discussion, and then we'll vote. Okay, Jody?
Okay. The first one is leave the water policy as is with the right to put the water lines in the 30-foot easement shown on the plat. Such a position will cause the board to stick its neck out a bit because neither the plat nor the PCNR is currently defined who has the right to use easements. Okay. I don't know if Bruce has that copy of the plat, Barry, plat map. I do not know. And I was looking at that map, and it specifically stated towards roads. It doesn't say about utilities and such, but just to put that out there.
I attached a copy of the complete paragraph in the packet that I sent out just so you guys would have it. I don't know how many of you received it or look at it. It's the last page, but you can read the entire thing. It certainly says roads and other easements. There's no question as to what it says. It's plain English and I think pretty clear as to what the easement is. And then that's further defined in the agreement with the county and otherwise. So it's roadways, utilities, water lines, and drainage. So anyway, I hope that's clear.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Jody, read number 2.
Okay, number 2. Bear with me. Okay, number 2, change the water policy to require those installing neighborhood water systems to negotiate easements over adjoining owner's property, whether such easement is to be located inside or outside the 30-foot easement area. And he thinks...
May I comment on this one just real quick?
Sure.
Sure.
Basically, what the second one says is just let the property owners come to an agreement among themselves as to when and where the easement lies is the rule. I mean, obviously, if I want to run an easement through the middle of someone's property, I'm going to have to get together with them and work out a deal that makes both of us happy. If we come to an agreement, that's number 2 is already basically included in number 1, if that makes sense.
That's the way it seems to me. Go ahead.
I need to look something up while you guys are discussing it, so go ahead.
Okay, so we'll open up for discussion. Leland had a question a little earlier. Robert.
We hashed this easement issue out before. I totally agree with Barry. I work in the right-of-way division for the state of Nevada, okay, for 10 years now. I've talked to these guys. The easements apply to other people. It's state in the pot mat. They are for utilities. I think it's very clear, to me at least, that these easements can be used by other members to go through it. That's been my stance the whole time. I agree that we shouldn't, the association shouldn't get involved, but that one point, the state that the easements, as listed, yeah, it's a little confusing, but easements are for other people to use. You don't need an easement on your property because you can put whatever you want wherever on your property. You need an easement for that. So the easement's there for other people. I totally agree with that. I think number 1 would probably work as far as I'm concerned.
I think the number 2 just adds a little bit of nuance of the fact that it's...
Give me an option.
They have to... They can't just go in roughshod. They have to talk with everybody.
Then, yeah, okay. But restipulate a little
bit. I think a combination of the two is like Barry said, they're pretty much one and the same, but just that little bit of... Maybe politeness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and if I could comment on this at this point, too.
At the ranch, what's most likely going to be used in that easement? A water line and maybe drainage. You're not going to have power. You're not going to have sewer.
Nope.
We're never going to get to that point. It's going to be water or drainage.
Right.
So
that's what we're talking about, basically, is water here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Jody, and then
yes.
Joe.
Just to clarify, the way the current water right is written, or the easement is written in this water right agreement, is that the party putting in the new water system can put those lines anywhere through any easements without asking permission from the lot owner next to them. the reason why this concerns me is, like, well, first, we were talking earlier about the issue of the easement and the driveway. One lot owner wants to have a driveway that goes through the easement, but say it's going to take down 20 trees from the other neighbor. The other neighbor's not going to like that so well. Now, if we left it as it is, they do it, the water line goes down, and then those two, the lot owner and the water system, go to court, whatever. But I just think maybe to eliminate that or alleviate that is to have, okay, this water group wants to put the lines down this path, this easement, make sure we find the best, well, they can find the best way to do that, go to the second owner and go, hey, we want to use the easement, we're going to put a water line in. The other party, the other lot owner next door, has some say in, okay, you can do that, but run it over 5 feet this way or something so that you don't take down my trees and such. I just think we need to have agreements between these lots. Don't cause many Hatfield and McCoy wars that go on.
Yeah, they don't just go in roughshod, as I said. Joe?
Yeah, I got the same concern. The original document that Barry sent from the original signed document by Barry and Patsy, or Dale and Patsy, says, designated for roads and other easements. Now, I don't have a problem with somebody digging a water line or a drainage line, but putting an actual physical road, it says road easement.
I think
so. I'm against the road section because that's going to be a 10-foot wide road. It's going to be there forever. Once you put the water line in, the trees and the brush will grow back. But I don't like the idea of having your ability to put a road along my property line without notifying me.
I think that's what Barry was saying about, yeah, there's some massaging and addressing, and that clearly there's it was thought of mostly in terms of utilities, but now, you know, you bring in the roads and it gets real sticky and messy because we had an example of that this last year
with
two parties, the Hunts.
Yeah.
So I do think, I agree with Barry, that battle's probably for another day where we clarify it and massage it, but I like a combining of option one and two because it does involve the water person or the neighbor wanting to use the easement coming to some resolution. I believe the lot owner where the easement's going to be used can't say, no, you can't do it. You know, there is an easement. It is an easement.
The lot owner gives the preferred path.
Yeah, but there ought to be consultation.
It
should be approved by both parties.
It should be approved, and if there's a dispute, we don't want to really be in the middle of it, but maybe we should. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it could go to court then at that point. I mean, eventually.
Well, they could go to court and say you can't do an easement because this is saying they have the right, the easement.
Well, once we get a court case with somebody going to court like this, then we'll know for sure.
And that's where Bruce is saying our necks are out on the line a little bit, especially if we get involved very much saying yay or nay. Then we're liable for saying yay or nay, you know.
Yeah,
we're better to leave it as it is.
Right.
Leave it as it is, not be saying yay or nay, but maybe write the language so that we encourage the water company people to, in consultation with the lot owner, to whose right of way is being used, they position that right of way.
Yeah.
That good. How does that sound to you, Barry? Barry, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. I think we can try to insert something that says, after reasonable consultation, that's the location. But at the end of the day, as Mr. Muscle said, an easement is legal and it's legal enforcement unless we change it by changing the future. And so, if I have an easement and the ability to put it in, then I have the right to do that.
Yes, we all agree with that. We just want to make sure that there's some language in there that is softened, is considerate of where in that 30-foot thing the water line goes in consideration of the feelings of the member whose property is being crossed. That make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Is everybody okay with that? Then we're okay with that, Barry, and encourage you to move forward. We appreciate all your help. We know you have an interest on your side, but as a member of the ranch, you've greatly facilitated this on both sides, and we thank you for that very much. Okay, Jody, is that it?
That is it.
You sound about done in.
Oh, boy.
We have...
That is it.
Okay, we have not very many items left, just a few tidbits on our agenda. I think, anyway. Let me look at this.
It went from 7 to 10, I mean to 11, so we missed
and
8,
we incorporated,
9,
and yeah.
We missed 8, 9, and 10.
Okay, we sort of talked about roads a little bit. Anything in addition? Let's just go right on down. 8 roads.
Well, I'm going to get with Leland a little bit more. I actually had a drawn up representation of lots and percentages, and when I went back, I looked and I had a write up. I have to revisit that. And I'm along the lines right now. I'm looking at, like, say, 50% of the road budget will be for the
that was a general feel of
Meadow Canyon. Then we would split up the rest into percentages and see how that would lay out and what it would look like. Input from the members, of course.
Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
I know Jody did exactly what you asked.
Okay.
And she has that, how many dollars based on that
okay,
allocation
good.
Of 50%?
My email's been down for 5 days.
And
so
the bottom line, her feeling was, Jody, I'll speak for you. You interrupt me if you need to. Was it, well, okay. It ended up like this area has $1,700. This area has $900. This area has $2,100. There was no great big chunkaroo, but I guess it's at least it's an olive branch. It's
right.
Something that they can take and develop, add money to
right.
or whatever. So, Jody, if you could maybe print your form there and mail it to Robert.
Or send an email.
Or he says his email will start to work. And send it to Leland. Send it to Leland, too, okay?
Yeah, I sent it to Leland in November.
Just send it to the whole board. Okay.
Basically, if I could just type in here so other board members can get up to speed quick. We have a $16,000 road budget. If we split that in half, 50% going to the neighborhoods, that leaves $8,000 to split up between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different areas. Some of the areas, here's the example. Johnny Brown, 27 lots. Their share of that would be $708. The Lower Ranch, they have 24 lots. Their share of that would be $630. Broad Hollow, 20 lots, $524. Crawford East, 44 lots, $1,100. Crawford West, 45 lots, $1,100. And it goes on from there. So the highest chunk going anywhere would be the Lower Sly, which has 52 lots. So they would only get $1,300, $1,500. So it's not really, in my eyes, in my opinion, it's really not enough money to make a difference in those areas. It's a small little pittance, but the numbers, it just show us just very small. And, like, if we had a $40,000 ranch budget for roads, this would probably work great. But what kind of impact can you make in Johnny Brown with $708? So that's kind of, I'll send this to you, too. But that's kind of how it breaks down.
Here's I thought about that. At first, I totally sided with what you just said about what, but the greater picture, I think, is that we, by so doing, we encourage local participation, thought, and commitment in their own area, even though they're not going to get rich on what we give them, but then it's more likely more members of the branch will be involved in their area. They will come up with money on their own. And so this is kind of like, I hate to sound like a politician, but stimulus money, you know? It's a goodwill and stimulus. True, it's not. It's hardly almost. Well, it didn't cost us much to divide it up, but that's the good part I see. And Joe has a comment now.
Yeah, I got a comment. Somewhat,
we've got 10 areas, and we're going to divide that. Let's face it, there's some areas that haven't been touched for 10 years. Let's take the 10 areas and divide it in half. Do put the money into the other five. Skip five completely this year. Take care of the five that are available, and the following year, flip back to the other five, because we can't. Because
right.
$900 is basically one culvert, and you're done.
Right.
Well, that's why. There's other ways to look.
But that's
at it.
That's
oh, there's other
milk.
Ways. Yeah, just a suggestion.
That's
yeah.
Spilled milk of the past. We can't.
You can't do the whole ranch at once.
We just need to
just
move
can't.
Forward.
Well, what the deal is, and I've thought more too. But with some of the lower percentage, there's a couple different ways you can. We can set it in motion and see what happens. If the area doesn't use the money and possibly we save it till next year, that's a possibility. The other one that I thought is a rotating. Pick the three lowest areas with 20 lots each. They then sit in a circle with. They then pool their money together. Now it's $1,800. And like you were saying, sometimes you can wait and see what you want to do. So the one area, those three will pull their money into one area. Then the next year, the other one gets all the money. Then the next year, the other of those three gets it. It starts over again. Now it's $1,800.
Again,
now they can do something.
It's got lots of minds and people
right.
working out of it.
And I don't even know if that needs to be said initially. We can say, here's the money. If you guys at lower slide and upper slide want to get together and do a project, then do it. And then next year, you guys agree to then use that money on the lower slide, what have you. I think
that's good on our part to not micromanage them. I think
right.
we should give them
groups, right.
we should give them their
right.
freedom.
So I think
yeah.
it can be open-ended. We'll see where it goes. You know, so my next thing is if we rent a backhoe and so forth, and talking to Paul whether buying one or what we're going to do, like I really want to do, then we're almost talking gas money. Because then Paul will kind of be available. We have to work with him. You've got a day that you can go to Crawford or wherever else you need to go to do this work. They have work to be done.
Yeah.
I think that $600 may go a lot further if we're just paying for gas, say.
Yeah.
We'll really
and that is one little item.
And then we'll see what.
I guess I'll just say it right now. When I told Paul, I said, hey, we're not getting the back track code. It just isn't going to work. I talked to Alan Marion about the Colorado City thing, and their utility department have a backhoe. And for those of you who haven't heard it, they have a backhoe. Their lease is $8,000 for a brand new case, and it's $120,000, $140,000 machine, you know, brand new. For that year, for $8,000, all repairs are covered.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to lease it longer than a year. You can turn it back in. They give it to you, if you want to buy it, it's a very reduced price, lower than the market value. And so if you can find a buyer, which is maybe tough to do, but if you can find a buyer and make $8,000 on it, you could flip that, sell it, and then you get another brand new case for the next year, you know.
But what about over 5 years if we use the same one and then go to purchase it? Would it be again a reduced price? We could look at that. Could look good.
I don't know, but then money. I don't know how long the maintenance works.
But if we get our own track roll that we've had since day one and we know we've taken care of it, the maintenance shouldn't be as big a deal as opposed to buying one.
Although, if I think they just charge you another, I don't know if the rate goes down. If they charge you another $8,000 for the next year, you might as well say, okay, take this one. We'll have a new one and
right,
buy another eight.
Right. Right. But you're leaning towards the rent.
So he got some bids from a John Deere guy, and it was 30. There's some bid for $2,400 a month, and one for $3,600 a month, and you had to rent it for 3 years. It was nothing of this nature, and so I redirected him. But then he's been sick, and I think I'll just call up Casey. I'll call back up Alan Marion and say we want the name of this. Person that, but it's tied to Water Conservancy Districts. And that's why it is important for us to have Paul qualify through that school thing. And then that's where they're given this break of such a low rate.
Okay.
So we have our own water, so we're our own Water Conservancy District, and he's taken the class and passed it. That's when you get this super ultimate super deal of like $8,000. And that comes with a couple of implements, I think, and you can hold on to your hat when I say this. You could trade in the Kubota that's cost us so much to repair, and you could get
more implements. You could have the brush hogger. You could have a snow plow. You could have a rototiller. You know,
on the backhoe.
On the backhoe.
It'd have to be front mounted on the bucket.
Yeah, I don't know. I just asked Alan, is that, can you put those implements on a backhoe? And he said you could. I don't know how sure he was, because
I don't know how you get a bush hog on there, and he does a lot of that. Then you have to run hoses all the way up to hydro.
Well, whether it is or not, I'm not sure. We would look into all of that thing. But then if we could trade in and get the implements are ours forever.
Oh.
And then we only have one machine, the backhoe, and we're not preparing a Kubota all the time. So
what's been the maintenance on that?
It was almost $5,000.
It was like $5,000 one year, and I think $3,000 another year.
So it's very high.
It's been really high.
So if we're spending $8,000 rental.
And we have a brand new machine
in 2 years.
That's four-wheel drive. It's,
and it doesn't dig.
Got all the whistles and bells. It can
manure, that's about it.
Dig and do whatever you want. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I'll look at the move forward.
But we have to qualify for that. And that's where we might go back to our fund, our savings account, and take it out. And then, you know, so that's a consideration.
I really think we need a backhoe. I really do.
Yeah.
And we could do, as he said, we could do a lot of work out there with it. But
so I'm going to sideline us on the backhoe question. But.
Yeah, but back to the other deal there, I'm still concerned about what we do when there's an emergency.
Yeah.
If the money is spread out and we don't have any money to cover it. And
well, we've effectively reduced our emergency, our road stuff by half by giving it to the other areas, right?
Yeah. But here's the original thing that I
that's said. All the worst
it
all, we are.
It all looks pretty. It all looks good on paper, and I can agree with it, except the problem that I have with it, and I've said it the last meeting, is that you have an area over here that we'll say it's got 20 people in it, and 19 of them don't even have been out there in years, and they'll even been known to sell their, some of them have sold their assessment for a load, okay?
Yeah.
And, but you got one guy there that's really a good guy, and he does everything, but he's stuck alone. He's got no cooperation. We got another group over there, and I'll use Podunk as a, for instance, they all seem to cooperate with one another, and they all got good people there. But this one guy, it's unfair to him.
He's still getting his share. He's getting
the same amount of money.
Well, he's getting the proportionate share still.
He'll get the 20 lot.
And whether he says what's done with it or the other 19 silent ones, he still is.
Well, he's still got that money, but there's only $700. You can't even get Alan to come out there with the backhoe.
Yeah.
Or
we'll be able to get Paul out there.
We'll be able to get Paul out there. Sure. That's true. If we have a backhoe, we have not had one so far.
And Paul looked at one in Fredonia. It was $12,000, but it was a 580C, so it was only two-wheel drive. It was old.
Yeah.
You'd be another $3,000 into maintenance for the year.
Well, I think at our place we need four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
There's some places just got to have it.
Yeah.
Now,
that's why this other thing's been so attractive.
The other thing is you thought maybe it would call them pitch in some of their own money. Well, those 19 I just talked about are not going to pitch in yet. Okay. I myself on a ranch road put in at least 25 loads. At least you put in 100 times more.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
But I didn't have anybody there to help me with that.
Yeah, yeah. That's just kind of the luck. I don't know. We're not getting.
You have some help, at least in what you feel.
I'm sorry, say again.
At least you have some help toward your feel and not bearing the whole brunt of it. If you're not getting anything,
I think we need to, with time, increase the road budget.
Sure.
But whether we give the same 50% or not in the future, I don't know. Joe?
I got a question about the last...
And we need to wrap this up about back on. Move on.
Yeah, the last board meeting we had, we talked about buying that Grizzly. Did we do that?
I'm glad. I'm totally glad you mentioned that.
Did we buy that Grizzly?
No, we have not, and the guy's starting to say is getting itchy to get it out of there, and I'm sure as soon as spring comes, if we haven't bought it, he is going to get it.
I think we should buy it and get it over with. There's one at the rock pit. It's a 10-foot wide.
10-foot wide, very sturdy, real good.
If we buy a backhoe, we need a Grizzly anyhow.
It's like $2,500.
Oh, okay.
And we thought we'd buy it, and then if Larry Clarkson wants to make some gravel, he's got to pay us $25 for a half a day use of it and $50 a day for a full use of it. Whoever else uses our Grizzly, so it will pay for itself in a couple of years.
Or if we get a backhoe.
And then if we get a backhoe, we can use it for free.
Okay, well, I kind of got sidetracked. I apologize on that. Okay. Well, I guess that includes roads, the topic of the backhoe. So, roads, and let's then do talk about the Grizzly since it's part of roads, gravel-wise. Do we have a feeling? Would anybody like to make a motion that we
make a motion that we buy it?
Well, I second that. We need to.
Okay, discussion on the motion.
Does the ranch own the small one sitting there?
We don't know. No, that's the one
gone.
We want to buy.
No, there's one that's 10 foot that's there now.
That's the one we're talking about. The one that's sitting there at the ranch.
Yeah, there was one there a while back that was not as good or as sturdy.
Yeah, it was too big a rock for going through it. We didn't want that one.
This is the one that they used successfully this last summer to make gravel.
Yeah, you can always replace the grades on it, too.
Yeah.
With the torch and welder, in a few hours, you can cut the old one off.
Okay, so there's been a motion made and it's been seconded. Any other discussion on the matter?
What's the condition? I mean, I guess we've used it, but this is, you know...
We've been told by Paul it's in good condition.
What is it, 2-inch minus?
Huh?
2-inch minus?
I don't know.
It's been used to make gravel that we put on our roads, so that's all I know. Yeah, I don't really know for sure, but I think that's probably true.
Brent's looked at it, Brent's...
They've all used it. I think Brent's used it.
Heck, I bought some that was screened by that big machine that Alan met, supposedly a rock crusher, and I got rocks to stick around.
Yeah.
It didn't crush them.
Yeah.
He really opened that thing up so he wouldn't have to have that much maintenance. So
okay.
Really
before you go to vote, can you reiterate how much it was, who are we buying it from, and what are the terms of other people using it?
It was $2,500, I was told.
It's $2,500. As to the terms, we'll leave that up to Robert Musco to decide on the road gravel pit.
There was discussion, it was in the minute. The discussion at the last meeting was if individuals would like to use it, it would be like a charge of $25 a day, half day, and $50 per day. They would have to go through Paul to coordinate this.
Okay, we can leave it at that then if everybody feels all right about that. So let's make that part of the motion.
I made
then.
The motion and
make that
John
part of your motion that that's
the motion that
we buy it, we charge
the Grizzly at the ranch that's currently there.
The money that's made on that Grizzly ought to be set aside for repairs on that Grizzly if you purchase it. Because those steel grates are you're gonna be paying $400 for a sheet.
Yeah, the money will be to pay it off and to repair it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything made goes back in repairs.
Into that Grizzly, into an account.
So, Candy, can you put all of those little items in the motion? Where the money goes and how much we charge and all of that.
And who are we paying this for? To?
The owner
of it. Who do I make the check out to?
Oh, I don't have a name. It's not Alan Steed. It is some guy in Colorado City.
I'll have to ask Paul who owns it. He knows, I think.
I can call. And I'll call even at this meeting and call you back.
Thank you.
Find out. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. So, and where does this money come from? I think, Jody, we ought to take this money from last year's surplus that we were talking about, that $18,000, where to put it. Does everybody agree on that? So we're not taking it out of this year's road
money.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Okay.
Did you hear that, Jody?
I did.
Okay.
That's
Do you
fine.
Have any? Is that okay with you? Okay. All right. Good. That was a lot, that was a good thing to have covered. Candy.
In this venue of Rhodes, I know Joe and I were talking and spoke with Robert Lesko. There's a need to have that gravel pit policy on the table before we buy this thing. Number two, maybe it has to be changed, like you and Joe were talking, to include
processed material
and specific verbiage in there that protects the ranch from someone going in and just taking the whole hill down.
If Paul makes a bunch of gravel, nobody in there with their right minds can go in and just take it without getting permission.
We probably need to have fencing and stuff.
Right.
What we don't want is someone to say it's a dollar a cubic yard of material, go to that pit, and then grab all the processed rock we crushed.
Right.
Yeah. To say it was a dollar a cubic yard.
Well, nothing's going to happen right now with 3 feet of
snow
on the ground. So yeah, I say let's proceed with what we just voted on, but let's absolutely, Robert,
yeah.
Tell her high water, have that in place for us to
yeah.
approve by next board meeting, okay?
Yeah, I'll have that full ground.
Because that extra material, the extra thoughts have to be included. They'll be a little different than it was before.
Yeah.
But that's important for someone not to go down and just grab what's already been processed.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try to get through this then. Equipment and cabins, Joe.
Well, don't have a whole lot there. We in the maintenance of the cabins, I'd gotten with Nancy and Paul, and they got with the Hunts about getting mattresses. And then all of a sudden, Nancy sent an email to us about there's a company in town or a motel in town that's getting rid of mattresses, and they're going to let us have them. So until we get that resolved, we don't know how much money we're going to need to put into that area. But if they give us enough mattresses to do, you know, four cabins, I say we should then go to our budget, and because I was willing to buy mattresses for three cabins anyhow. So if we do get enough for three cabins, let's go ahead and buy for three more and do six cabins and get it over with and try to get it done as quickly as possible.
Are they coming from that Holiday Inn there in town?
Let's
that where it was?
That guy is a member of our ward there. So
they said they were in good shape and they were just redoing them. So.
Right.
They were less than 6 months old.
We should get with Nancy and stay on top of that completely and try to get those mattresses.
He's a member of our ward there that runs that place.
Yeah, that was my deal, was condition and how old they are, because I've stayed in some of the places that have been.
Yeah. 6 months sounds pretty reasonable.
And the only other big thing we got is we still got to make a decision with Paul and the board on what to do with the stairs on cabin number 3. We have to get that accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Those stairs are crumbling and sliding down the hill, and they're going to be on cabin. They're going to be in the pond if we don't do something.
Do we need to get 3 bids for that? Any bids to be presented?
We should. We should get 3 bids.
Okay, let's get our bids, and then this is kind of a semi-emergency. We need to do it.
We should get it done this year.
Okay.
So I'll get with Paul, and I can think maybe we might get a hold of Larry Sims. He did the porches on a couple of them, did a really good job. Maybe he's willing to take this on. He's got a new job now. I don't know if he has enough time, but he was one of the lot owners, and he did an excellent job on some of the floors and the cabins already on the porches.
Great.
Either that or maybe we can use Larry Meltzer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's willing to go that big of a job, but he's local, and I just assume
we'll
keep it in-house if we could.
Have a bid it, then
yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay. John.
Okay, the Forest Ranch activity is a little early for that, so so we haven't really planned anything that's hard. And as far as security goes, well, we did get the cameras, and they are up and working. As far as I know, they still are.
And, do you have 2 cameras? Are they on the cabins then, or where are the 2 cameras?
I think you're going to keep that out of the minutes, weren't you?
Yeah, we won't state their exact location,
but
you
want
talk,
their location.
Talk to them privately.
They don't want their location.
But they're showing what they ought to show, let me put it that way.
That's up on the website then?
No. This
no,
is
no, they're just for security.
We have some issues with somebody siphoning fuel.
Stealing fuel.
Okay.
And tools.
Okay. So. Yeah, okay. No, I understood. It's
I got an email from Brent and his snow plow up on the runway. People are stealing gas out of that also.
Really?
So we have people that need gas more than we do.
Right. And, well, public safety, that's, I'm not up there, so I can't tell you. So I don't really have much other than to just say that we do have the cameras and I hey, we're working. I assume they still are.
I would suggest that you, that we check those monthly, make sure, just talk to Paul. And,
yeah.
Linda, you're our liaison to Paul. If you could ask, tell him we would like in his monthly report a confirmation that our cameras are working and if there's been anything unusual happen. Okay?
I will do that. I have a question, a comment for John also on the activities. If you could put some brain power to what activities you want to do and line them up for 2016, that would be really good. We have many, 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 many reservations already on the books for 2016. So people are planning on coming up. If you look at the calendar, you can see who's there or what, you know, what cabins are being used already reserved. So it would be great if we could line up activities for the year and know and be able to put it into the next newsletter, which will be coming out in about a month and a half. That'd be great.
No problem.
Okay. That's it, John. Let's move on to Leland on agriculture and wildlife.
I talked to Doug Hunt. He's just entering his sixth year on a 10-year lease with the cattle. He asked me to find that out. And then
Could you get back to Brent Robinson then?
Yeah, what happened with Brent Robinson?
Brent Robinson just made an inquiry.
I know he made an inquiry. Did we do anything yet about it?
And we were just trying. No, we haven't done anything. No. Right? I mean, we haven't. Yeah. So basically, unless something changes, the Hunts are going to want to renew.
Yeah, he plans on
renewing. So I think you should. I like Brent, but you should tell him we got a 10-year lease and four of it's gone by.
They're starting into a sixth this week.
They started their sixth, and
we've got half of it gone this
week. And we're partial. We have a good relationship. We probably will renew the lease at the time, but that's some time off now.
I mean,
I think it's a 10-year lease, so he's got 5 years left.
But there, I believe in the paying. I believe in the Hunt DSROA lease, it states that no one else can run cattle on the ranch.
Yeah. So we can't.
Because he don't want to interbreed.
We can't contract with Brent to coexist. Like we had that Ole Lindgren thought he still had the ability, and he talked to the Hunts, and they didn't want him there. So.
Yeah. Those are registered cows.
So that's the main thing is breeding.
Right, and I think he's paying over the going rate.
So I think all you could tell Brent is, you know, we suggest if you want to talk to the Hunts, but right now it's in their ballpark, and we're not going to change.
I don't have Brent's number.
We'd have to section off a section of the ranch with a fence.
I can talk to
him. I do have a question.
And I don't know if there'd be enough grazing.
Well, that's the thing. My question.
I mean, Val, he's got a bunch, so he's not supposed to have them, or can or not.
I think in the rules and regulations that it did used to say you could have two horses and two cows, and I don't know if it still says you can have cows or not.
It says you can run two heads of cattle with the cattle on the ranch.
That
really?
That's amended. I'm almost positive.
I do think that's I think there's something different about that, but I'm not sure. Why don't you look that one up,
okay,
and let's resolve that problem? Because I can see how that would be a problem with the. I can see people if they have their own lot fenced, mm-hmm. They can have their own cows on their own lot for sure.
They won't be able to roam.
That's fenced up. Cows are always out.
Are they?
Yeah, we used to be able to graze cows. We used to be able to have two cows that we could graze on the ranch property, but we had a lot more grazing land then. And I'm wondering, I have a question, if we can increase our grazing properties and set aside one side that Brent could use or that we could lease out also. Can we increase our grazing properties that we use from the BLM?
Well, I have input on that, the Hunt contract.
But now you've got the Brinker Haas with their cattle. and then you got the Hunts of his. So if he's worrying about Bow of his, so there's more than just one person out there with cattle in that area. You know, and they break into each other's, you know, through the fences all the time. We got
right.
Well,
all the cattle at the ranch ran where steers, so it didn't matter. There was no cattle.
Yeah, see, not all of them are registered, though. He has a group out there of just longhorns.
Well,
and I don't know where he grazes, so.
Sounds to me like this could be an issue and that we better get to the bottom of it.
Because we don't want
to
lose the contract we got or abuse it.
Yeah.
And can I mention something here?
Like something
sure,
like double the going rate in order to have that.
Okay, Jody.
As far as Linda asking about can we get another grazing area on the ranch, according to our contract with Hunt's Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, will not have the right to put other cattle on the other areas of the ranch.
Because they move them around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think we understand that.
They have to be able to move the cattle to allow the areas to rest.
Okay.
Can we increase our grazing rights with the BLM for the Hunts?
I don't know. Leland could look into that.
I think it would be good to look into it because we used to have quite a bit more than we do now.
How do you know that?
Well, we lost it back in...
It would just be 40,000 acres total.
We lost it back in 84, 86.
Okay.
Why?
Well, we'll put that on Leland's shoulders to figure that out.
I'll make some phone calls.
Thank you.
Another part of the report, you know, they're talking about doing the burn.
Yes.
Behind our area, I guess.
No.
Going to be
on the north.
Actually, you know where my lot is?
Okay.
It's totally west of that.
Okay. And north. They said it would come
west and north.
They talked about you know, rolling out a quota to go out.
Not necessarily. Those are the kinds of questions that, those are the kinds of questions because there's been all kinds of hearsay. They're going to put a road podunk and on up to that ranger station. And, you know, I haven't heard that directly from them. But that ranger is going to be here to answer those questions next month.
Yeah. We've kind of put something together for maybe doing some work out there along with them to help.
I've been trying. Here's
the deal. Kathy was going to talk about it.
When they all met at my place, they invited and they had all of the BLM guys there. And then so they had all of the Forest Service guys there. And they sat around my fire ring and had a powwow because I said, would you please ask the BLM because we would want to extend this all along all of our ranch property to the east, you know, like down towards your way. And then it goes right along the side of me. I'd really like that taken care of too. Because it was starting at the corner of my lot, nothing to the north of me at all. And so they had them there, and they couldn't make a commitment because, you know, there's always a higher up in the government thing. But they saw that as a reasonable thing, and they were talking about how they could coordinate their efforts. So there was talk there, and maybe a stranger guy we can get. I'll email this Mark Carrera. Because I'll tell him we're wondering how that cooperation's going on.
Okay.
And
we could use more information on that.
Yeah.
Kathy and I have kind of talked, and we're talking with the Division of Wildlife, and Kathy wants to take over.
I don't know how many people are hunters, but we're dedicated hunters, and they have 36 hours that you have to do for every 3 years if they're dedicated, and there's projects. So I called them and asked if there's a way that we can use, you know, because we talked about limbing the trees and trying to cause it's not going to burn private property. Mm-hmm. And I told them, why don't we put a project together over there and have people come out and trim trees. And there's people out there that don't have the capability of trimming their trees and using these different.
You're talking about on ranch property or on that forest?
Properties.
On the private property.
I said on our private property. I said we're members of an association out there, Deer Springs, and like we said, maybe 20 to 30 people come out, do their hours, limb the trees that are bordering where the burn is, so it will you know, limit the possibility of coming and destroying private property.
That was one of those follow-up items, remember?
They thought it was an excellent idea, and they think that they could make it work. So I put it in there for me and Leland because we were told it was going to be up there right above Podunk.
Yeah.
It was going to be up there. So we put it in for us, but I also put it in there, and they're reviewing it to see if maybe we could use those hours for some of that work.
Remember how I gave Brent Fulmer, remember how I gave Brent Fulmer that assignment I gave him, because those of those people that were there, they had the names of the state. If you do fire prevention plans for your community,
mm-hmm.
there's also participation and help and organization and stuff. And at our last meeting, I gave that lady's name to Brent, and he was supposed to call her and work out a total fire protection plan for our property. So, so I will try to call. I will talk to Brent and see what he did on that. But I'm sure we can incorporate this very thing. And this Mark Carrera is the guy that's been.
Carrera.
Something like Carrera.
I have his information here in front of me, Phil.
Okay, well, I have it too, and I'll email him back that we want to know the progress on the cooperative work and where the BLM is going or doing, we want to talk about the fire protection, and if you have a copy of your plan, why don't you email it to me and I'll forward that on to him, and he'll probably get it.
I put in a request with him for.
Okay.
A private project.
Because they've had to work.
Personally, told me they thought it was a very good idea.
They've had to work with the. They have money, and the Forest Service does. They are very interested in Gravel Springs, which is above me.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting in what they call gushers or guzzlers, mm-hmm. and so water sources for wildlife, and so. They're looking at all that stuff, the hunters and stuff, and they have input from the fishing game. But it's just getting the BLM guys, the monument guys. Because that strip, for about a quarter mile wide, comes in, it's just right below Bryce Canyon, all the way from your area from the monument, there's this strip right there, goes to the corner of my property. And that grab, and so...
Now, Linda had the contact information. Could you have her go ahead and
Chad, that's just for Mark. I have that.
Because I'd like to have it in the minutes. So if anybody else wants to make that contact.
I have it on my phone. I'll give it to you. Okay.
That's it?
Yeah, I think we should. All the more we can coordinate, the better. Yeah. So we'll try to get everybody plugged into numbers and people and try to encourage them. Okay, anything else, Lynn? We need to have, maybe we'll take a break, and then we need to have just a quick closed session on this
executive
meeting on some past due accounts and things. And that's the only topic for now.
Do you want me in on that meeting?
Yes, Linda.
Do you want me to phone you personally?
Why don't you, I'll phone you. Well, give me, which number should I call you at? I'll phone you and put my phone on speaker.
644-3007.
Well, we still have to use conference because I'll be there too.
Okay. I was going to suggest I will disconnect from here and then you guys start a new session as host, from, it doesn't matter who does it, probably, Jeff. Jeffson would be the best. You just do it that way, but I'll disconnect and get gone.
So, would I call back in again, and Linda will call back in again?
Yes, exactly. And then Jeff will follow the directions that should be with all that stuff about starting teleconference, but with the additional thing of needing to enter the administrator four-digit code or host four-digit code and doing it that way.
I got it.
Okay.
Fair 10-minute break, 10 minutes we will resume then. And so I will adjourn this. I'll take a motion to adjourn this meeting. And our next time will be the 13th at my place in St. George.
At 10 o'clock.
All right. Everybody agree?
Yep.
Okay. So it's now a quarter. It's now 17 minutes to two.
One.
To one down here, yeah. So in 10 minutes, we'll resume. Thank you.